Pastor Maurizio from Mount Zion Church of the Firstborn. I'm going to continue on this series of the end time revelation. Really, we have looked at already the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. And we are going to now see how to apply them to us. The considerations that we had to have to be able to understand how to use the words that the Lord is giving us, the practical way for us today. But there are some things that we had to clarify before. Really, revelation about the end times is important that we understand where it comes and how to apply it to ourselves. See, there are many point of view, many religions even, you know, and generally they disagree to certain things and certain things they may agree, but really they are nothing else than man reasoning and trying to understand the way things are, or philosophic arguments to try to figure out things. Well, the Bible is different. The Bible is not a philosophy. The Bible is not arguments about different things that we can look at and interpret our own way. You know, it proclaims, the Bible itself, that is God revealing himself to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, the point is that it's great. It says that we have to understand it is given to us by inspiration from God. And so we have not the option to take what is said and to interpret it our own way. And we're going to see more on that in detail. If God says something, he meant something. And if he meant something, he meant for us to understand what he said. And he's going to make everything possible for that to happen. See, the Bible is not just a book written by man. It's not just a book written about things. It's really a prophetic book, a book in which God speaks forward to us. Now, in the Bible, there are very many prophecies. More than 300 of them are just on the life of Jesus in his first coming. More there are on the second coming and other things. It shows us something that is beyond the things we understand, the things we can logically get by observing nature around us. Prophetic books like the Bible, there are no other ones. It's the only Bible, the Bible is the only book that gives us prophecy after prophecies, thousands of them, about things that happened in the past that already materialized. And other things that are going to come to pass. And when we see the things that took place already, then becomes easy to understand what that is saying for some people, but not everybody. Others, you know, when it looks about things that are going to come to pass, it's even more difficult for us to really be able to understand what it's talking about, because we have no experience, we have nothing to base ourselves on. Or is that so? I mean, do we have nothing to base ourselves on, or we have something to do about that? This is the question that is important to understand and is going to help us to be able to make sense of what the Bible says. So before really trying to apply what Jesus said to the churches in the end time, I want to go there to explain some of the principles that we had to use in understanding and applying revelation, applying prophecy, applying what the Bible says to ourselves, so that we may be not confused, maybe not spread all over with different ideas that don't hold together. Okay. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, "For so we have the prophetic word confirmed." And you know, when it talks about the prophetic word, it's not just the book of prophecies in the Bible, because really all books in the Bible are prophetical, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in dark places until the day dawn and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing first this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we can see that we don't have the option to start taking private interpretation of what the Bible says, but we should seek to see what really God meant and what we and how we should apply that to ourselves. The Holy Spirit was the one that actually wrote the Bible. He wrote the Bible by inspiring people, holy people, people that were open to God, that were listening to God, and reported what they were getting. But when we look at even Christianity, even believers that call themselves Christians and are even born again, we can see that even they are confused. There are so many different groups with don't agree on some basic principle in theology that they deal with these things in different ways. I mean, and when it comes to things that are already established, basic theological beliefs, they don't agree with. Can you imagine when it comes to understanding prophetic events that are going to come to pass? The situation gets even worse in that case. You know, I can just make a list of them. You know, premillennialism, amillennialism, preterism, pre-tribulation and post-tribulation rapture, dispensationalism. I mean, you can make a list that keep going forever. And, you know, people then complain about why there is division in the church. See, the problem is much more than just disagreeing on some points. There is a problem of methodology. There's a problem of how the word has to be interpreted and understood. Because if we are listening to the same Holy Spirit that spoke to the prophets, we are going to agree. We are going to have the same mind. This is what Paul will keep repeating over and over again, you know, to be the same mind. But to be the same mind involves something that has to be a priori there and is really the question of connecting with the Word, the way what the Word says, not what we want it to say. What is the source of confusion then? Source of confusion is man's reasoning, because they think that by reasoning they can interpret the Word. And that it was never intended to be received that way. The word is spoken by the Holy Spirit to people. And by the Holy Spirit was received by the prophets and the people that wrote the Bible. And by the Holy Spirit has to be received by the people that read it today to be able to understand what it says. But how many are willing to listen to the Holy Spirit rather than the teaching or the doctrines or the ideas that they got from other people? See, we must go to the source. Personal interpretation is not allowed. When we don't know, we have to accept that we don't know and leave it there until we get the revelation, instead of trying to extrapolate with our own ideas to try to say things that we don't know about. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says very clearly, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. See, it's the word, the source of the information that we get. And there is no other source except the influence of the Holy Spirit ministering to us. When we desire to know, and we seek for new knowledge, we have ambition that is actually of the flesh. We are going to push things beyond the place where we can understand. Many will not agree with me, but that doesn't make any difference. The point is, we have to deal with the situation we are in today and the confusion that is about certain things, especially in the things to come. Because really, the times we are in are a time of transition. This, what's happening in the world today, it's God's call to awaken up and to start listening, because there is not much time left for the second coming of Jesus Christ. See, we cannot understand Revelation in general, and especially the book of Revelation, but it's all a book of Revelation. The Bible is God's revelation. So we have to understand that the only way that we are going to really get to the truth is by the word being ministered to us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to use the word to do that. What I'm saying is, the word has to interpret itself. We have no option to come out with other ideas. In the questions that we have, rather than going around trying to figure out our own theories or ideas, we have to go to the Word and find the answers. And when the answer is there, everything is going to fit beautifully. Because the whole book, it's a unique book. It's a united book. It's a book that has no complications, no differences, no different opinion. God, we are going to see, is the same. The truth that we are going to find out is because the Word itself is going to show us that what it is. And the Holy Spirit is the act that we want it act on us, to be able for us to receive from the Word that connection between different aspects of different scriptures, so that the whole things come together in unity. And when you find the truth, always, as a revelation of the Holy Spirit, always, is going to match everywhere in the Bible. As the Holy Spirit is going to reveal and quicken to you that truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. We cannot go by the worldly thinking or the worldly wisdom, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. See, it's a mystery. That means it's something that we cannot figure out ourselves. That's why it's a mystery. We cannot reach it ourselves, but as we receive it from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to reveal the mystery to us so that it becomes no longer a mystery. And this is what God wants to do. This is what has been his plan from the beginning. That's why he revealed himself to the prophets and the others, so that we may start to be able to have a contact point that they had for us to be able to receive what we need to understand. Let me continue here. we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. See, this is the way we are going to receive our glory. I mean, that's where the way we are going to be developed, growing into Him. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. See, the world doesn't know. I mean, Jesus came. How many really understood and were open to what was happening then? Many, many, many of the people waiting for the Messiah, 2/3 of them at least, missed the first coming. The world has not changed. I believe that at least 2/3 of the ones that are presently knowing the Messiah are going to miss it, the second coming. Why? Because they are following their own ideas. Instead of being open to the Holy Spirit, to listen to what He has to say to us. Let me continue here. Because He is giving us the key. The key to understand. The key to overcome the confusion. The key to overcome the division. See, division is not going to overcome by we have to be united. If there is difference in position, there is a difference behind there that has to be resolved. So, we continue with verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, but it is written, eyes are not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. See, the scripture is used all the time to say that we cannot understand God, and it's actually saying the opposite. It says that, you know, the things that He has prepared for those who love Him. That means that that's not the way it should be. The people that love Him, love His word, and they are open to the Holy Spirit, these things are going to be known. What is people that are not, the eyes are not seen and no ear heard, are the people that are in the world. They think about the world. They don't have a mind transformed the way God wants them to have. But it says, and then, you know, what I'm saying is confirmed by the verse that comes after. It says, but God, if it's bad, that means the whole thing has to be removed. But God has revealed it to them through us, through His Spirit. So He has revealed. If He has revealed them, then we know. What do we know? The things that are in the Word. It's the Word itself. It is a revelation of the Holy Spirit because He spoke to the prophet and the prophet brought it there. Now we had to be able to see what it says. It says, finishing that verse, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So you see, the Word is there to bring us to the place in which we understand. But the Word is not there for us to develop different theory about it. It's to seek the truth in it. And the only way we are going to find the truth is through the source of the truth, which is the Holy Spirit. And the basis of that is not our intelligence. The basis of that is not our education. The basis of that is our love for Him. They are prepared for those who love Him. See, the attitude of the heart is the key to receive revelation and to overcome all these crazy differences or heresies, the way the Bible calls it. Let me continue here, because you're going to see some things that are helping us. You see, this is the way for us to overcome the confusion and to receive the power of God in our life and to be able to move into God's glory that has prepared for us, as we read in the previous verse. For man knows the things of man except, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So you see, the only way to get it is through the Spirit of God. The only way is when we connect with the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you're not connected with the Holy Spirit and you try to do your own thing, nothing is going to happen. No revelation is going to come about. He said, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given by us, by God. So really, this is what God has given us. And, you know, he has been always, New Testament, Old Testament is working exactly the same way. We are going to see more of that. But today, we have, if you are born again believer, and we take that step, you know, there is an extra element there that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. And he's dwelling in you, not just to go around with you, is to minister to you, to guide you into all truth, to reveal to you the things that you have to understand. See, I want to stress something here. The words, just the scripture that I used a minute ago, said that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The word knowing there is not ginosko, is eido. Eido, which means to see, to perceive. See, we have to be able to see. It's not a question of reasoning. It's a question of seeing what is there. And that is what the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, illuminate, another way of calling revelation, us to be able to see what is there. Continuing verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the man, natural man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, the spiritually discerned there in Greek is anakrino, which actually means to be searched, asked, discerned, so that we actually separate them, start see them. But we can start see them because the Holy Spirit is helping us in the process. The thing is, if you are born again, you should not be anymore the natural man that cannot receive these things. You have your Holy Spirit in you to show the truth, but don't start operating in the flesh, going after your own ambition, your own decision of what you want to know. Go and be open to God so that he brings you the revelation. And when is the time, you will get it. Otherwise, you're going to make it up. Otherwise, you're going to have your own theory. Otherwise, you're going to be confused. Hallelujah. See, the to knowing is important to understand that we don't see it in the flesh, we see it in the spirit. But let me continue here. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly not judged by anyone. And I'm going to, the word judge here is the same that used before. Anakrino actually means, as I said before, search, discern, ask the question, say, okay, what is this? But doesn't give the answer himself, waits for the Holy Spirit to give it to him. And then goes on in verse 16, which also is, produces lots of confusion of him, who has known the mind of the Lord, that they may instruct him. Which actually says, no, you can go and tell God about these things. Don't make up things yourself. But we have the mind of Christ. Now, I like to use another translation because it makes it a lot clearer. William's translation says, for who has ever known the Lord's thoughts, so that he can instruct him. That makes them a bit clearer to understand. You know, people in the world is talking about don't have the answers. They cannot tell God about things, and they try to do that all the time. Because they want to be their own rulers, instead of allowing God to be the ruler of them. It says, but we now possess Christ's thoughts. I mean, believers receive revelation by knowing Christ's thoughts, which has nothing else. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, anointing them to see the word for the meaning that it has. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and we should go to the word to receive the meaning without trying to figure out things for ourselves. See, one of the things that we had to realize, that the Bible is not just a book based on worldly experience. The Bible is a book that actually shows the connection, the way the spirit world operates in the physical world, the way God intervenes in the natural, and in fact impacts and changes and molds and directs the natural. There are so many scriptures, actually the whole Bible is all based on that. The whole Bible deals with that, show how the spiritual reality is actually more important than the physical reality. And we're going to see much more about that. But you know, if we don't understand, if we don't agree on these principles, we are not going to be able to receive much from the Bible, because what we are going to do is to take the Bible and fit it to our models, fit it to our way of thinking, fit it to the worldly way of thinking. And we can do that even after we are born again, because we have been trained to think that way. We grew up to think that way until our mind is renewed and we renounce to our ability to make our own models and conclusions and theory, and we accept Him as the source of our understanding. And we submit to that truth, we are never going to be able to overcome confusion. You know, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of God in your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So that are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then heirs of God, on God's own act, by God's own act. So really the idea here is, you know, God intervene. He has, you know, sent the Spirit of His Son in our heart. That's why, you know, we have the mind of Christ. To the degree in which we allow that reality to control us, as we submit to that, we are going to know the truth. You know, the spiritual laws are more important, more powerful than physical laws. And we can see that very clearly in many places in the Bible. But I'm just giving you one example. Jesus' ascension. But people that don't believe in the spiritual, they say that, you know, something was a vision or something, or was something else. But that was just as real as anything else. If you don't believe that that was real, then the Bible is not going to be very useful to you. See, that shows one thing. One of the laws that we all know very well is the law of gravity. Well, that is completely superseded by spiritual law that enabled Jesus to be levitated and to go to heaven, or being resurrected, or, I mean, everything in the Bible over and over again shows the fact that there is a spiritual world that is actually more real and more powerful than the physical world, and that actually the physical world is originated by the spiritual world. You know, many of the confusion about Jesus' second coming is, you know, people try to interpret it spiritually or symbolically or any other way. I'm not going to go into all the explanation, but the reason is because they cannot believe some of the things that they're reading. Hallelujah. The fact is, God had a plan from the very beginning, and the plan is to send Jesus. And he did that. In fulfillment of the prophecies that was written in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 15. It says, and I will put enmity after Adam and Eve sinned. And, you know, God wasn't surprised. He had planned the whole things from the very beginning. He knew everything. He had a plan, and he has only plan A, not plan B. He never changed plans, as we are going to see later on. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, talking to the Satan, between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, this was written many years before Jesus came, and anybody that read the Bible has to come to the conclusion that this is a prophetic statement that God himself spoke to Adam and Eve and to the devil, you know, concerning the coming of Jesus and his defeat. And so just as the first coming that was announced then at the first time and was then expanded on through all the centuries later on about how that's going to be happen and all the details about his life and so on, there are more than 300 prophecies about Jesus' life in his first coming. And they've been fulfilled. And it's practically, from the probabilistic point of view, zero probability for anything like that to happen. And the first forming of the Jesus was physical. And most of them missed it. The second coming is going to be physical too. And some of them are not even waiting for it because they say it's just a theoretical thing. Even believers. Hallelujah. See, when we come to this, some of this understanding I'm talking about, we are not trying to do our own solution anymore. You know, but we are going to accept some of the principles that the Bible shows us, some of the truth that the Bible shows us. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, talks about Jesus' ascension. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood with by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, would you stand who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in like manner as you saw him to go up to into heaven. In like manner. He's not saying, you know, it's going to be any different. This is clearly spoken. This is clearly prophesied. This is clearly predicted. Why are we trying to make stories about different things that are going to be taking place? That Jesus, you know, the kingdom of God is already here. And that, you know, that's all we are going to get. Or, you know, there's going to be no rapture. Or there's going to be, you know, if he went up, he's going to come down in like manner. If you can take those words and change them the way you want, you are changing them. You are not listening to what the word is saying. This is not a question of interpretation. Either you ignore the old things and say, well, this was just a vision, was nothing, was not important. Well, the whole Bible is about visions. Praise the Lord. You know, prophecy, by what is definition of what it is, does not make sense logically or scientifically. Because those two things are limited. Resurrection, ascension, miracles, you know, miracles that Jesus performed, miracles that happens today. People that see them don't believe, they just ignore them like it's non-existent. Like, you know, if you don't look at it, it's not there. See, there are prophecies about the Bible that blow your mind, to say the least, that seems impossible to your logical mind. I take, for example, one of them, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 5. It says, righteousness, this is when Jesus is going to be establishing his kingdom here. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loin, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and young lion. And the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat the straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play with the cobra hole in the cobra hole, and weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God, of the Lord, as the water covers the sea. I mean, you read that, and most of the people will say, oh, this is, makes nonsense. See, that was true in the Garden of Eden, if you like it or not. That was reality already, because this is the plan that God had from the beginning for us to live at peace and to us to live on dominion over the earth. I'm not going to go into all the explanation of this, but you know, unless you take this as true, not just a symbolic thing, then you are not going to be able to understand the Bible. You're not going to be able to see, because your mind is bound by logic and science. But logic and science are closed systems. Closed systems means that they're not considering all a part of reality that is not included in them already. And as a consequence of that, they end on the ability to project things in which that reality is going to intervene. This is why people that supposedly study the Bible talks about the mythologizing in the Bible. You know, this demythologizing the Bible is a position of ignorance, not understanding. There is nothing mythological about the Bible. You see, we want to superimpose the physical to the supernatural, when instead, the truth is that the supernatural is bigger than the physical. If you can't accept that, you won't get very far. Certainly, you're going to develop your own theories. See, you're going to formulate your theory and then try to make things fit. And when they don't fit, you just ignore them. That's what the natural man does, for what according to what I read before in the scripture, because they are foolishness to him. Oh, I'm sorry, the fool is the natural man, because doesn't have a clue about the reality that is beyond his sight, his ability to see. Now, I challenge you to take that step, to start believing the Bible for what it is, and to come to conclusions that are completely different from what a natural man can come to. This is what we have been reading. You cannot see, people try to use the scientific method to study the Bible, which is completely retarded from my point of view. I was a scientist before I became a believer. And the scientific method is you develop a theory, and either you try to find all the evidences for your theory to be right or wrong. But generally, you are biased by the theory that you have developed because you want to be right. Well, no matter what theory you develop, is wrong because it's not based on the truth. It's not a question of knowing the theory. It's a question of knowing the truth. Science can never know the truth. Can just know facts. The truth you're going to know by receiving revelation of the mystery that is behind what appears. If you don't believe that God is a creator, that he exists, that the spiritual world exists, that is bigger than everything else that you can see here, your reading of the Bible is going to be just very superficial, and you're going to get not very far from it. It will not help you. Hallelujah. If you believe that everything we see just came about by chance, from nothing, you really are illogical, even if you think you are logical. And you're not going to be able to make sense of anything that actually is in the world, because your position is limited, is biased. God spoke to us to give us direction, to give us understanding, to give us instruction. That's the first scripture I read to you today. You know, 1 Timothy 2:3-16. That's what makes the difference. Now, the consequences of that, and I'm going to close with this for today, is that when we read something about the book of Revelation, I mean, this the emphasis about the book of Revelation, you know, is the fact that the start, you know, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's talking to us about revealing things that are going to come to pass and directing us according to what always says in the Bible is always a direction for us. So I'm going to read at the very end of the book of Revelation. I'm not going to read everything, just one section, short section. Chapter 22, verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. Jesus is speaking to the churches, to us, to understand the things are going to come to pass. This is not just theory. This is not just symbolism or mythology. This is actually going to happen physically to likely this generation because of the things that we can see. And the spirit of the bride says, no, just a second, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. I'm not going to go into that. That is a very important statement he made, but it would involve for me to talk about many other things. So I'm going to continue. And the spirit of the bride says, come. And let him who hears says, come. And let him who thirst come. Whoever desire, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the word of prophecy on this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will do to him the plague that are written in this book. And anyone who takes away the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away the parts from the book of life, from whom the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies these things says, surely, I am coming quickly. And really the word quickly there, as I explained before, is more intended to I'm coming. You know, this is a way that was people were speaking at that time. This understanding of time was different than today. We'll call suddenly, as is proved by many other scripture. The grace of the Lord Christ be with you all. Amen. So really, you know, we understand there are 66 books in the Bible. As really man's division. There are actually not books in the Bible, it's just one book. The Bible has complete unity, is consistent in itself from the beginning to the end. And anything that is said in the Bible in the Old Testament is valid today just as much as was valid then. We are just to properly apply to ourselves. Hallelujah. Jesus himself, you know, people distinguish, oh, now we can do whatever we want because we are not under the law. Nonsense. This is ignorance, not understanding. Jesus said, and you have to go again what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5 verse 17, and not the only place. But do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. See, people couldn't do it. He came so that we can do it today, what was said to do before. For assuredly, again, he says, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or a tittle, I was talking about the way we write in Hebrew, will by any means pass from the law to all be fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of these, the least one of these commandments, and teaches men to do so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of God. Amen. But whoever does not teach them, he shall be called, but whoever does and teaches them, does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. See, this is another area of great confusion today. How we have to walk? I mean, we follow the law, we follow God. When we follow God, the law is going to be fulfilled in us. Not the external law. It's going to be the internal law that we live in ourselves. See, because one of the principles that we're going to expand in next week is God does not change. God is always the same. So we saw four important principles in that one. The first one was that God, the Bible, it's a prophetic book. That means that what it says is not just limited to the things that we understand, but goes beyond and speak for God and speak to us direction and understanding things that he only knows, the mysteries of his reality. The second one is that the truth, to be find the truth, is not by our reasoning, is not by our logic, is not even by our study. It's by revelation of the word of God, and that revelation is going to come from the word as we go to the word and we start understanding, receiving, revealing the word to us as a spirit, the Holy Spirit does it. The third principle we talked about today is do not add or subtract to the word. Don't make up stories. Don't make up things according to your own thinking. If you don't know, humbly stay and wait and ask. And the Spirit is there to bring to you the revelation when you are ready to listen to it. The final one, the God does not change. There is not a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. God is always the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to close with that for now. We're going to see more things. But before we apply this, you know, otherwise we don't know. When we look at things, we look direction. If it's symbolic, if it's abstract, if it's physical, if what's going to happen, what do you use? I mean, if you don't know, you don't know. And you have to know, instead, what is physical. The Word of God, as I said before, is able to distinguish, separate, like a two-edged sword, the spirit and the flesh. The things that we make up and the things that are really true in the spiritual realm. I hope you could follow me. I hope you could understand the importance of what I'm saying. Because that changes everything in the way we read the Word, in the way we look at the Word. The Word is life to us. It's true. Jesus is the Word. He was the Word made flesh. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Word. And thank you for your Holy Spirit. And thank you for loving us, even when we certainly do not deserve such a great love. But you created us for a purpose. You created us so that we may have fellowship with you out of your love, Lord. And you went beyond the imaginable by sending Jesus. He went through all the things that he went through when he could just enjoy to be in the glory in heaven. He just wanted brothers and sisters to join him, to sit at the right hand of God. And we just ask you, Lord, that you give us revelation so that we take the Bible for what it is. You speaking to us, you revealing the truth, you quickening us by the Holy Spirit so that we can read in the words. They may appear strange sometime, or symbolic, or whatever, or impossible, so that we may see that the impossible is possible, that all things are possible for you, because you are God, you are the Father, the Creator, from which everything stands and holds together. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.